Yeah, thank you for being here.
Thank
and go ahead and let them know where you're from also.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good evening. All right. Well, thank you for having us here this evening. We're delighted to be with you. And not too far away, as Cassie was saying, just in Powell, Tennessee. We drove up here just a few hours ago. And so we had a good short trip, probably one of the shortest trips we've had so far this summer. We've been traveling all over the Northeast. Started up in Maine and kind of worked our way down, and so we've been enjoying that very well. And like they already said, we're from Crown College, which is, again, located in Powell, Tennessee. Pastor Sexton allows us to go out and travel like this, and he is the founder and president of our college. And just want to give you a few things about that before I get started. He's the founder and president, and we have different classes that you can take as you go to Crown, but even if you're not going to Crown, one of the cool things about the building at Crown is it's a Crown Christian Heritage Museum. And so as you walk through the halls at Crown College, you're going to be seeing different things of our past, of our faith. And so it's a wonderful place to be able to just walk through. If you've not been there before, I really encourage you to just be able to go and look at that, as well as be able to see the building. You can go and take classes there. You can study there. Before that, I think, Cassie, did you take the classes before college? So I'm going to look at this real quick before I call out the wrong thing. She just tried to mouth it to me, but I couldn't see it. Early Advantage. They have an Early Advantage that you can take online enrollment. And you can take that as you're a junior and senior in high school and get ahead in your studies. And then along with that, once you come to Crown, they have different classes you can take, classes in ministry, classes in small business and entrepreneurship, science and healthcare, trades and technology, and different things like that, that you can go there and you can study. And the idea behind Crown College is that when you go through college, you're getting a biblical foundation, so no matter where you go into, no matter what field you go into, you can take God's word and you can share it with someone else. You can take what you've learned and teach others also. And so, you know, you hear about trades and technology, you know, a lot of people will kind of think, why would you have trades and technology at a Bible college? Well, one, if you're a pastor sometimes, maybe if you're a missionary, you may need to be bivocational. And so that's one help, but also, you know, maybe you're not going to be a pastor or a youth pastor or something like that, but you can go into that field of auto diesel, HVAC, welding, building construction, cosmetology. Maybe you go into one of those classes and you study and you get a biblical foundation while you're taking those classes, and you can go in and teach others about Christ as well. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're called to do. God said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so that's the desire behind that. Along with that, before I get to this, we also have extension campuses that you can go and study. There's a lot of things that I'm not mentioning, but if you have any questions, you can come back and talk to us after the service. But there are extension campuses that we have that you can go and study for a semester. There's one located in the United Kingdom, in England, and there's also one located in that's the Passage in Montana. And what you do is you go there, you study for a semester. During the week, Tuesday through Thursday, you're taking classes. And then on the weekends, you go and you're working with a pastor side by side and you're practicing the things that you've learned. And so it's a great opportunity. I was able to do that in the UK. And the Lord really worked on my heart and my wife's heart. And God willing, we'll be going back there soon. I know we're praying about that. Hope that you'll pray about that with us. Again, I don't know if I mentioned this. My name's Chris McPike. This is my wife, Natalie, and we're traveling with the group. But if you have any questions, please come and talk to us. A couple of things I suggest grabbing, if you're interested, is this little pamphlet. It's got all the information in there about the classes that you can take and little extracurricular things that you can do as well. And then also our Crown College Days, if you grab one of these, it's November 3rd and 4th, this coming fall. So if you're interested in the college at all, we'd love to come have you there during the college days. You can check out the classes, see what those are like, and then the evenings they have some activities and things like that that you can do. But with all that being said, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, we'll get started on this. Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about faith, and particularly about Abraham's faith. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse number 8 it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Before we get started, I'd like to begin in a word of prayer. If you'll pray for me as I'm speaking, I would greatly appreciate that. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your goodness to us and for your love and for your protection. Thank you for giving us safety as we came here. Thank you for each person that's here tonight. I pray that you please speak to our hearts. Help us not leave here without receiving something from you. Lord, I pray that you please speak through me. Give me the right words to say. Help me not say anything that I should not say. And God, I pray that you please just bless the rest of this service. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So as I said, we're going to be talking about the faith of Abraham. And before we get started, I'm going to take you through a few verses and just kind of talk about faith for a minute. But first thing I want us to point out is in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's a good description of faith. It's a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But if we want to know the true definition of faith, we got to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse number 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." That first line there, it says, "Looking unto Jesus." What is faith? Faith is looking unto Jesus. You know, many people try to have faith, and they put their faith in different things. They put faith in themselves. They put faith in their friends and family. They put faith in the things of this world. But true faith, faith that's really going to work and it's going to move for God, is a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto him. And without faith, there's a few things that we miss out on. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it's a very familiar verse. You may be able to quote it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Without faith, we cannot have this gift of salvation. We must first put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives us that gift of salvation. It is important that as Christians, we have faith. Without faith, we would not have our salvation. And again, back in Hebrews chapter 11, another familiar verse, in verse number 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we want to please God with our life, we must first put our faith in him. We're going to talk a little more about that. But without faith, we don't have salvation. Without faith, we cannot please God. And as we look at the life of Abraham, there's some things we're going to notice. I'm going to read another verse to you in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." There's a couple things I want to point out. The first thing is that it says there, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Because he believed God, it was charged to his account. Righteousness was charged to his account. And it's that same thing for us. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, before we put our faith and trust in Christ, we originally have sin on our account. We know this from the scriptures. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned. And because of our sin, we have the penalty to pay, and that's death and hell. But Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we don't have to go to hell. And when we put our faith and trust in him, his righteousness is imputed on our account so that when we go and we stand before God on judgment day, he looks at us and he doesn't see our sin, but he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ that is imputed on our account. And I thank God for that. But the second thing is going beyond salvation, we get to have a relationship with Christ. We get to have a relationship with God. It says, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And I don't know about you, but I would want to be called the friend of God. Just think of how amazing that is to be able to call God your friend. The one who created everything, the one who brought everything into existence, the one who makes everything consist the way it is today, that keeps it going. He gives us the strength to get up each morning and to live for him. That very same God we can call our friend. We can have that relationship with him. But without faith, all of these things are impossible. And so tonight I want us to take a look at Abraham's life and just see what kind of faith do we have. Do we have a faith that lines up with Scripture? Do we have a faith that lines up with the faith that Abraham had? And we're going to begin looking back in chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." The first thing I want to point out here is that Abraham obeyed. He had a faith that was obedient. He looked to God. He trusted in him. He knew that God knew what was right, the things that he should do, and he obeyed God. And it wasn't something that when God told him to go, that he thought for a second, is this really what I want to do? Is this going along with what my life is really going to be about, what I think it should be about? Sometimes we do that. But that's not what he did. It says, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. God said, go, and Abraham said, yes, Lord. He packed up his things, and he left. And sometimes we question God. We think, is this really what we need to do? And sometimes we're like Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, but what did he do? He turned his back and he went the other direction. And because of that, he met up with different circumstances that pointed him back in the right direction, right? He was swallowed by a whale. And that's different for everyone. For me personally, I had a time in my life where I started turning my back on God, and God used circumstances. It was a car wreck. He used that circumstance in my life to make me question and think, you know, why am I here? Why didn't God just take me in that wreck? Because he could have very easily. Why didn't he just take me? He has a purpose. He has a reason for us being here, and that is to seek him and to please him, to live for him. And, you know, when we do make those mistakes, I was thinking about this just today, when we make those mistakes, that doesn't mean that we need to just give up. There's a gentleman I met this Sunday who went through a pretty hard trial, if you will. He went through a time of his life where he turned his back on God. He started turning to things of this world. He was drinking one day, one particular day. There was other things he was involved in, but he was drinking, and they were out on this four-wheeler, and he said he went to jump a four-wheeler while he was drunk, and he had a very severe accident. I was looking at him on Sunday, and he has the loss of his right arm. He's got scars all over his body. He couldn't talk straight. And, you know, it was a hard thing that he had to go through. But his life turned around after that. He gave his life back to God, and he's trusting him, and he's living for him. And not only that, but he's using his testimony to try and encourage others to live for the Lord. He jokes around a lot. It's a little bit uncomfortable. But really, he has a heart for the Lord, and he wants people to realize that the best life is living for God, not for the things of this world. And that's something that we can do with our personal testimony. You know, maybe we did for a time turn away from God, but we can be obedient now. We can turn back to God now and be obedient and live for him and follow him. We need to have a faith that obeys, a faith like Abraham. One more thing before we leave this point. I almost forgot about this. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm going to read a few verses here. John chapter 14, verse number 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And we'll skip down to verse number 23. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Very clearly, we see stated here that if we truly love the Lord, we are going to be obedient to him. And there's things that the Lord has given us very plainly in his word that he wants us to do. So maybe you're wondering today, what is it that I need to be obedient about? Well, we have to get into God's word and study it and understand it and know what it is that God has for us to do and be obedient to that. Have a faith that obeys. And then as we grow and we're obedient in those things, the Lord will begin to tell us future things that we should do, day by day things, step by step. And we're just being obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading. But if we truly love the Lord, we're going to be obedient. We're going to have a faith that obeys. The second thing I want to point out to you is Abraham's outlook. If you look at verse number 9, it says, By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham had the right kind of outlook. He had a faith that looked to God, that was looking at the things of heaven. Sometimes we allow the things of the world, the things around us, to distract us and turn us away from God and what his purpose is for our life. Maybe it's things like money, things like a job, things like family and friends. Maybe the Lord tells us that we need to go somewhere, and we think, well, I'm comfortable here in this place. But the thing we need to remember, we need to realize, like Abraham did, is that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. God has allowed us to live here, and has allowed us the things that we have here, and we need to have the right kind of outlook that doesn't allow those things to turn us from his way, to turn us from his path. But we need to follow him. Sometimes we do not obey God because our eyes are on earthly things. But the Bible tells us in Colossians 3, verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Sometimes we think that we need to just build and build and build and make things for ourselves because that's more enjoyable. That's more fun. But the things of this world are only for a season. And Jesus speaks very plainly in the book of Luke, chapter 12. I'm going to read a few verses there as well. Luke chapter 12, he speaks very plainly of a person who does this, who doesn't set his eyes on things above, but he sets his eyes on the things of this earth. And it's a little bit harsh, but it's what Jesus calls this person. In verse number 15, it says, And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus says very plainly, Thou fool, for someone who lays up treasure on earth instead of in heaven. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be considered a fool by God. I want to be someone who is pleasing to God, who pleases him and shows him that I love him. I want to have the right kind of outlook. I want to be obedient. But not only that, I want to point out one more thing. Abraham's offering. If you look at with me and back in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. We'll read a few of these verses, then we're going to read the account of Abraham's offering in Genesis 22. But it says here, By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, That in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And we all know this account. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've probably heard of this. how Abraham sacrificed was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. But I'm going to read through this account in Genesis chapter 22. So if you'll follow along with me there. You'll remember through this account that it was through Isaac that God was going to make Abraham's seed great. God had promised things through Isaac. And though Abraham probably didn't understand, he was still faithful and he was obedient. But I want you to consider, as we're reading through this, what Abraham might have been thinking. What were his thoughts as God asked him to give up his only son? Begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham. It said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his son, and said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together." And again, as we're reading through here, just thinking about Abraham and what he might have been thinking at this point, I don't know that I could have gotten this far. You know, Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, someone so precious to him. Could you have gone this far with that? Maybe it's your child. Could you have gotten that far? "And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And we see the faith of Abraham, and we see how God stops him. And he says, "Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Isaac was so precious to Abraham. And sometimes God will ask us to sacrifice things that seem very precious to us and that are very precious to us. And will we have a faith like Abraham that says, "Whatever you will, Lord, I'll give it to you. Whatever I have that you want, I will give it to you." After all, whatever we have, he has given to us. It doesn't really belong to us. He is the creator of this world. He's given us everything that we have. It's only reasonable that we give it back to him. Amen. Abraham was willing to lose something so precious. And it reminds us also as well how he was willing to give up his only son and how God gave up his only begotten son for us. It's a picture of that. And we are reminded that, and we can thank God that he was willing to do that. And just before Jesus went to the cross, what were his words? He said, "Not my will, but thine. Not my will, but thine be done." The greatest example we have is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if Jesus was willing to say for all of us, "Not my will, but thine be done, Lord," we ought to be willing to say, "Not our will, not anything that we have, not anything that we count as precious, we give it to you. It's yours, Lord. Thy will be done." What kind of faith do you have? Is it a faith like Abraham? Is it a faith that is obedient, that's willing to obey and trust the Lord knows what's best? Is it a faith that looks at the things of heaven and not at the things of this earth? Do we have the right outlook? And do we have a faith that is willing to offer to God whatever he asks of us? What kind of faith do you have? May God help us to have the faith of Abraham, to have a faith that pleases God. I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and will you come and give the invitation? Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your word and how you teach us in your word, how we have your example to follow. God, we are grateful for the sacrifice that you made for us, and I pray that you would help us to be faithful and give to you, to be faithful and to be obedient to you. Lord, please forgive us where we may fail you. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that does not know you as their Savior, please don't let them leave without knowing you first. And if there's anyone here tonight that needs to give their life to you, I pray that they would not leave without doing that. Lord, please work on our hearts. Help us not leave the same. I love you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
As we stand to our feet looking this way, just for a brief moment before we pray, as the ladies begin to play, there's something very interesting about the word faith. If I were to guess, everyone in this room is probably here because you want to please God. Would that be a correct assessment of who you are and why you're here? I believe each and every one of us would want to please God. The Bible does say about faith that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, here's the neat thing about faith, and thank you for reminding us of that faith and the faith that Abraham had. How could he have such a faith that would allow him to do those things? Each and every one of us that have Christ in our heart, have the indwelling Holy Spirit in your heart, which is the assurance of things that are to come. God places the Holy Spirit in you so that you can be assured of the fact that everything He said will come to pass. With that in mind, it really isn't that hard to trust, to have that faith. Because without that faith, we can't please God. Tonight, the invitation is this. How is your faith? Each and every one of us have been given the means to have all the faith that we need to please the God in gratitude for what He has done for us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the invitation is this, and the altar is open. Perhaps you need to come and you need to talk to the Lord a little bit about your faith. If you're here this evening and it's hard for you to even fathom what we're talking about when we talk about faith, you don't have that assurance. More than likely, that is because you need to take that first initial step of faith. And that is a very simple step. And by faith, you just need to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but as many as believed on Him and received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, He says. It just takes a simple, small amount of faith to put your faith and trust in Christ. And for those of us that are here, that we do know Christ as our Savior, how's our faith tonight? How's your faith tonight? If we can trust Him with the most valuable thing that we've ever had, and that is our soul, we trust Him with eternity, I'm sure we can trust Him with what's going on in our life right now. I'm sure we can trust Him with whatever health issue we might be going through right now. I am so sure that we can trust Him with everything that we have. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would increase my faith. Thank You for the opportunity and the privilege that we've had to be able to take and place our faith and trust in the only answer to mankind and all the problems that we have, and that is in Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reminder tonight of faith. And thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit that is that assurance that everything that you've promised in your word will come to pass. Lord, I believe we want to please you. I want to please you. So, Lord, I pray that as I move forward in my life, as I take that next step, as I make that next decision, Heavenly Father, may I do that in faith, trusting and leaning and depending on you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that reminder tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, has it been good to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for blessing us with song. And don't forget, there's a table set up in the lobby right after service. If you'll just step by, if y'all want to slip out right now and go to your table, if you have any questions, young people, it was so good to have you in the service tonight. You add a special element to the service. It was great to have you up here. Brother Kyle, it's good to see you on a Wednesday night. Come to church. Normally, he is below us, and it's so good to have him up here with us and to be beside him tonight. And Miss Anna, thank you for being here. Y'all, also, don't forget, ladies, there's the sign-up for the ladies' event that's coming up and the different things. I wanted to say also about the missionary cards, the gift cards, that I was blown away last year as a missionary kid and as a former missionary. I was blown away with what Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church did for their missionaries last year and all the cards that you all gathered up. And it was just such a blessing to be able to hand that to the missionaries. And you should have seen their face when they opened that gift card booklet and they saw all those. You know, it doesn't take much. $5 to Chick-fil-A or $10 to Chick-fil-A, and their eyes lit up. It's just such a blessing, and I really appreciate what you all do for missionaries and for missions. So we're looking forward to that. We wanted to keep that before you. We have several that are coming in during the month of August. We're going to have a great time during the month of August. And then, as you can tell, we've had missionaries come in. We've got more that will be coming by. Some we already support. Some that are coming in, we're looking at for support. And so we're really encouraged with that in our missions program. Thank you. Y'all have a great night. Let's pray for Pastor. And don't forget, he asked that we pray for the decisions to be made this week there in camp. And Lord bless you. We'll see you on Sunday morning. Thank you very much. You're dismissed.